You're listening to the Mindbrew Chats podcast, bringing you stories and honest conversations about mental health, well-being, and life. From Kuching, Sarawak. Grab your favorite brew and join us now.
One thing that we've talked about a lot on previous episodes before is about loss and about grief. So the second part of this this pandemic supplement actually talks about taking stock of what happened in the past year, what you did not do, what did not happen. So looking at all the knots, all the empty bits in your calendar, all your, I don't know, your the normally we keep things on our phones, right? We take photos of gatherings, of things that happen, of events. Maybe your camera roll is really empty this year. Oh, it's all about food. Or plants, or you know, cats, whatever makes you happy. But the point is, the things that didn't happen. I'd say, is there something particular in your head that you like? Oh, I really wish this was such a big part of my life pre-pandemic, and it didn't happen this year. So is there something particular that you want to talk about?
Back in 2019, I mean, I got married. In 2018, and then I moved to Kuching, which is very far from my family. My family's in Semenanjung. Back in 2019, whenever I go home, I'll see my parents age a lot. And I felt so, you know, it's like this anticipatory grief, knowing that they are growing older. The truth of the matter is that, you know, nobody escapes death and all that. And I keep thinking that I have very little time to be with them, being so far away. So this year I have a plan to travel back every 2 months to see them. And it didn't happen because of the pandemic. So it was really difficult for me. I particularly remember one of the events where I really wanted to travel back in July for my mom's birthday. Out of due diligence, I went to check to see if I have I don't want to bring back any COVID-19 viruses back home because I know I work in a healthcare setting and that's very high risk. And lo and behold, I'm positive. So that added on to a lot more grief because I feel that there is this possibility of endangering them and all that complexity. So I felt that that was one of the things that I really couldn't, I really wanted to do, but I couldn't do in this year 2020. Yeah.
And I think that's so relatable, especially for everyone who has to fly home to see their parents or their family, those who are staying overseas. I mean, if you're in Sarawak and Sabah and your family is in Peninsula Malaysia, you're technically overseas because the South China Sea separates you and you have to fly. There's no other way.
Yeah.
And that South China Sea, even though it's small, is the widest gap ever that separates you physically from your loved ones. Mm-hmm. And that's so relatable, something that a lot of people have felt in this very difficult year, not being able to physically see their families. So what about you, Kim?
For me, I think the beginning, it was all, it was a hard hit personally, because I'm a very extroverted type of person. I like to like see my friends. I like to hug them. I want to like yell love notes to them, like, I love you, goodbye, you know, things like that, and smile and laugh with people. And for not being able to do that was so hard for me. Also because you put out energy into the world and sometimes, obviously, hopefully we get it back. And being locked in the room, there was not much energy being received at all. And at the same time, it was also very disappointing to not be able to carry out the events that were planned. Especially with Bukan Salah Kami, we were thinking of doing a larger exhibition, going into schools. I mean, last year for the outreach program, when it was in Lundu, when we did it, and we had an MOU with PPD Lundu, a week or two later, there were cases that were reported. So, I mean, to have that kind of feedback or see the difference that it made to one area, one district, we were hoping to like expand it out to more. And then God knows during MCO, I'm pretty sure a lot of this has happened within confined homes with child sexual abuse, because most of the time it's with people that they know or they are familiar with. And it's very scary. But we did try to manage in a way that we launch as many social media outreach as we can, our website, Instagram, working on Facebook right now. The work doesn't stop. And I think remembering why is important. But definitely having the events canceled was a huge part. And then it also hit back to my performative anxiety. Oh, you didn't do this event, you didn't do that event. Then what are you going to do now? Leh? Then what you achieved this year? Leh? You know?
So relatable.
Yeah.
So relatable.
Still working on that. So a lot of things to learn and heal from.
But where can we find out a bit more about Bukan Salah Kami?
Yes, we have a website. So happy. www.bukansalahkami.my. We're also present on IG at Bukan Salah Kami. Yeah.
Thank you.
If you're interested in women's rights, and actually women's rights are human rights, you should be interested regardless of whether you are man or woman. Do go on Instagram, follow Bukan Salah Kami, I believe SWWS, which is Sarawak Women for Women Society, also have Instagram and Facebook presence. So please go look them up. I actually have an inherent distrust of extroverts, of anyone who's too energetic and too loud and who likes to hug people and touch people. And I'm like, who is this person? But that's the best part about Kim. The fact that she's so loving, she's got so much energy to share. Like, this energy that you put out in the world is the energy that you receive. And it's the best part about her. So I still don't like extroverts. I don't trust them. But I do like Kim.
Thank you, Laura.
What did you miss, Dirin? What did you miss out on during this year, Celine?
I think combining what Kim and Hazel said, like, for me, mainly it's not being able to meet loved ones, especially those who are immunocompromised, grandparents and friends who have family members who are immunocompromised also. That was sort of a bit regretful because of, like, you know, the stolen time, even though there's nothing I could have done about it, it still feels like I did not spend enough time with people that I love, right? And one more thing that I feel like super, not now, but like when MCO happened, I felt like super sad about was, so I was selected for this workshop, it's called Young Biodiversity Leaders, this workshop that they were going to hold in KL, that they were bringing in all youth from ASEAN, right? So all the ASEAN countries, they select like about 2 people from each country. And I was one of the ones who were selected from Malaysia to go to this event. It was supposed to be in March, but then a week before the workshop, MCO happened and it got cancelled. And I was like super sad about it because it was like, oh, like I finally got selected for like something that I was really, you know, interested about and like was really looking forward to, and I put a lot of work in applying for it, and then sadly it was cancelled because of COVID. Yeah,
there's so many plans got cancelled, so many hopes and dreams and things got cancelled as well. And we can either sit and grieve and be bitter and be resentful about all this, or we could adapt and see how we can pivot the situation. The next part of the pandemic supplement actually talks about this, like, how did you roll with the punches? So look at all the things you didn't do. How did you adapt? How did you change? Because the only constant in life is change. If you don't adapt, you're going to be stuck. You're just going to be like really unhappy. You're going to be frustrated. And that's not good for you long term. So what are the other ways that you have learned to adapt? You know, like Hazel has talked about, not just not being able to see physically her family, but she talked about using words instead. Is that right, Hazel?
Yeah, calling them more often and all that. So in the beginning, when the MCO happened, there was a lot of emotions going on, but I couldn't put a word into it. It just feels like there's a lot of things stuck and a lot of, I don't know, it feels like kind of burned out, or I don't know what's going on the inside. So I didn't really have time to process much because healthcare workers, so we have to go back to work, have to call people and all that. So eventually, when I got positive for COVID-19, I do not need to work from home. I was able to kind of be with myself for a month. I realized that the first 2 weeks when I was in a hospital, I couldn't really process much too. But when I was back at home and I was quarantined for 2 weeks, and I realized that I have been holding in a lot. This is something that I've never shared with a lot of people, but that night I had a very, very sad dream, and I woke up, I was sobbing, and there was a lot of guilt coming out, like guilt towards the clients that I'm seeing, guilt towards my parents, guilt towards my in-laws and my family, because, you know, I kind of put them through all that whole testing, put them through all the mental torture, because it was a big stigma then. So there are a lot of people saying very mean things to my in-laws, to my family members, and I was feeling a lot of guilt. But it was at that moment when I begin to cry and acknowledge all this guilt and losses that I feel, I felt that something kind of broke through. I couldn't really explain what was it, but it was me beginning to embrace my own limitations, to realize that it's okay, I have all this guilt because I care about people, but then this guilt don't define me. I'm a human, I'll feel things. My ego will make me have certain guilt to think that I could save the world or anything like that. But that's not me, and it's okay for me to be kind. So I actually did this to myself, and I reminded myself to be kind. And that kind of changed the way I live after that. So after that, the positive COVID-19 incident, I felt a lot more released and free as a person living my day-to-day life. So I felt that it was because I was willing to be kind to myself, despite of the guilt and all the things that I'm feeling.
You took a very bad situation and you yeah. turned it around. And this is something that we've been discussing a lot this year, this stigma against patients who have been diagnosed COVID positive. And this nonsense with keyboard warriors blaming them. Why do you go to my shop? Why do you go to the shopping center? Why do you go to church, etc.? It's such nonsense, because COVID doesn't pick who it infects. It's a virus, right? It goes everywhere. And the fact that you did a responsible thing and you got yourself tested, and it just so happened that you got you tested positive, you're doing the responsible thing. And this is what happens to a lot of people. They discover they are positive, that they are tested, and they immediately contact all their close contacts to stop the virus from spreading. They are doing the responsible thing, and they do not deserve to be stigmatized. So guys, remember, whenever you have the choice, choose to be kind, because you do not know the whole story. Kim, that you were talking about, you know, you need a lot of energy from meeting other people, interacting with people physically. How do you manage to turn this situation around? How do you manage to pivot?
I think during the pandemic, I had so much time to myself, because I think everyone was forced to have a lot of time for themselves, and it might have been an ugly situation. For me, during the beginning, it was so ugly, but I realized that I needed to take myself, reframe myself out from that. And I put energy into, I went back into practicing yoga on the daily, sometimes twice a day. And it's not just because for the physical health part, but it was more of the meditation bits and really listening to my body, being kind to it. When I first came back from Australia, I think 2018, I joined the gym, and I was there like 6 days a week, 3 or 4 hours a day. And my wrists were going off. My leg was like falling apart. That's how I felt. And I wasn't listening because I was like, yeah, I got to perform. I got to perform. And then like people are like, "Ayo, you're going to this class?" I'm like, a bit tired, but gyalah, just go, you know? And then this time I was like, why are you pushing yourself like that? Like, who are you fighting with? Who do you have to like outdo? I'm so glad I have realized and listened to my own body. Like, oh, my wrist is not so strong. So I can see people doing beautiful inversions, but I also need to understand that I am not capable of doing that. And I don't want to be angry at myself for it anymore. Yeah. And that was like a huge step one for me. And then when I tried doing inversions, I realized there was a lot of fear, because after 6 years of doing yoga, cannot go upside down. Some of my yoga teachers said something wrong. But I think it was all the fear in the mind of not willing to try or let it go, let yourself go. So that also taught me about how my mind can be so strong of holding me back. The things that I tell myself, what I define, I can also confine.
What you define, you can also confine.
Yeah. So if I keep telling myself, I see, lor, if I invert myself, what angkun ti, then I don't have angkun na, lor, you know? I know it sounds crazy, but it's so like, that's my fear when I want to invert myself. So I was like, if I keep telling myself, I need to do that, lor. So I think it's just mindful practices of reframing the things that I tell myself. And that was very useful for me throughout the pandemic. Slowly lang. Yeah, still can get angry at myself, but sometimes not so bad now.
So for the benefit of our listeners who do not understand Hokkien, Kim was saying that she was afraid that if she did the inversion, she would break her neck. She would hurt herself, essentially. So that fear was holding her back. And if I'm hearing this correctly, you during the pandemic, you finally had time to sit down and face these fears instead of distracting yourself with all the busyness of events and social gatherings and things like that. And I think a lot of us did actually have a similar experience during the lockdown. The solitude allowed us time to develop more self-awareness. I'm sure it was uncomfortable, but it was a necessary process. And I'm interested to hear from Celine. Like you said, you weren't able to go for the workshop. You were not able to do a lot of things with regards to your environmental activism. But was there a way that you were able to pivot that and do something else or reframe it in some way?
For the workshop part, there's no news about it now. So we're just, okay, let's just wait. Who knows, right? But in terms of activism work, we sort of channeled all our energy into applying for this grant that a close friend of us recommended us to apply for. And we spent like months writing the proposal, sort of channeling this accumulated energy and sort of passion that we couldn't express, right? And into this grant proposal. And we got it.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But that just means like next year we have a lot to do. Also, then there's uncertainty of like whether, you know, COVID, how does COVID play into our plans and stuff, which we honestly have not really thought about. But if we can survive this year, we should probably be able to survive the next year. Yeah.
That's my logic also. That's my
logic. Yeah. I mean, honestly, when it comes to people, right, like the people that I call the most, or like I've Zoomed or called my friends more times than I've ever called them. I'm not a phone call person. Because of this situation, I have to. And funny enough, the people that I call the most are the people that I miss the least. Like, I don't miss them as much because it's like I can whether or not like you're in front of me, I can still connect with you with or without you in front of me. And to me, that's like the most important thing, because I'm also an introvert. I don't really need to see you. Now that I think about it, right, like the pandemic happening in this time and age is sort of like also I don't want to say it's a good thing, but it's like thankfully we have, you know, Zoom and internet
and technology.
Technology, right. Technology. Being able to still connect with people and adapt to the situation that we are put in with technology.
And actually a part in the pandemic supplement that talks about your social circle. So we're going to go a little bit more into that also later on. But before we go on, let's just wrap up this little segment a little. And then we'll go into a 5-minute break. So we know that this period has been especially distressing for people who are already living with mental health issues. The isolation, the uncertainty. Imagine you feeling anxious and imagine someone who already has anxiety. Amplify that like 1,000 times and you know what they feel like. This overwhelming, crushing fear of the unknown, of the uncertainty. For me personally, because as someone who has lived with depression and anxiety, I think that experience in 10 years, about 10 years ago when I lost everything that I had planned, my plans dissolved into thin air. I was faced with a lot of uncertainty. But I think going through the experience has actually prepared me for this past year, because I remember how it felt back then. I remember what I went through and I remember what I did to cope with it. That first experience has helped immensely. If you're going through mental health issues of your own, if you have had similar experiences, especially if you have anxiety, do drop some comments. We'd love to hear your stories as well. And again, if you are struggling, you're having difficulties, please go seek professional help. It's so important. Mental health care is accessible here in Malaysia, in Kuching, in Sarawak, wherever you are. There's someone who will be able to help you. So do reach out. We're going to take a 5-minute break and we're going to cover a little bit of the past year before we move on to the year ahead. So see you guys in about 5 minutes. Welcome back to the second half of today's episode on reflecting on the past year and looking forward to the year ahead. Now, the thing is, the last year, 2020, has been so overwhelming that we have been here for an hour and we haven't finished talking about it yet. We're going to wrap up with a little bit more of about the past year before we talk about the year ahead. But 2020 deserves the attention that it's getting. We need to dissect it. We need to analyze it. And looking at, you know, we were just talking about all the things that we didn't get to do and all the things that we did in order to make the situation better, to adapt, to change. Now, be honest, guys. There must be some things that you don't miss. There must be something that you are so glad that you did not have to deal with during 2020. I know for me, it's been meetings. Meetings which are long, which are pointless, and which drag on and on and on and are the bane of my life. So I do not miss meetings. What about you guys? What has that one thing been that you don't miss?
I think for me, would be a contrast to Kim. But for me, it's the peer pressure of having to hang out with your friends.
I hear you.
I mean, I understand that definitely is not the same for everyone. There are people who to gain like energy from people, and that has been hard for them. But for me, it has been liberating in terms of like mental space. Like before MCO, you know, friends would ask, hey, you wanna go drink like this night, and every week we would meet up, and it's a bit exhausting, but at the same time you're like, you know what, like let's go lah, like the peer pressure. But that not being in my life in this year has honestly been, it's been great. I feel like I'm way better without it. It's not that I don't want to meet my friends. I do. I just want to meet them at my own terms, when I really want to. Yeah.
What about you, Kim? Like, I see you like nodding at inexplicably at some of the things that Celine is saying, even though you're an extrovert. What about you?
I do feel like I kind of agree with what you have mentioned and Celine as well. Even though I do want to see a lot of people, but actually coming off MCO and going back on track with the work and with meetings, I also realized I lost that time for myself, which actually when I meditate, I might be a better person. And losing that time now that we go into full on, like, you know, everyone's like, yeah, we can go out. Wow. They're like, oh, must do this, must achieve this before 2020 finish, or else all these projects will be stuck. And I'm sort of having like a burnout, emotionally and mentally. So I can understand that. And it's good also because during MCO, when meetings are on Zoom, there is Zoom fatigue. It's real. And we're like, okay guys, let's not chat about, because sometimes when you have physical meetings, you can digress and like go off track and talk about other things for like half an hour. But then when we're in Zoom and we want to respect everyone's time and what they might have to handle at home, we try to wrap things up. We try to stay on point, stay on track. So I think being present is one thing that I really learn, and what I don't miss, and I also have to practice this, constantly remember this, is bulldozing through going off like checklists of what to do, and instead of practicing mindfulness, practicing being present, I really try not to bulldoze anymore, constantly remembering that. But I'm also very grateful for people that are okay with me setting that type of boundaries. Yeah.
I think this is a problem with very achievement-driven people as well. Like, we pre-pandemic, we're always going out, moving from meeting to meeting, from engagement to engagement, from another to-do to another, you know, item to take off. Suddenly you had to, like, you can't. It was a huge, huge adjustment.
I appreciated COVID Zoom meetings because I could do it in my pajamas.
The half lower half pajamas.
This is on top. I feel like doing these things online actually requires a lot more energy because you need to be able to transcend people's screen. You need to up your energy to so much more than if you were doing this event physically, for example, because it needs to translate on screen. I think Zoom meetings are similar as well. Yeah. What about you, Hazel? Is there something that you don't miss?
I think similarly, you know, being this perfectionist or high achiever, I take pride in the quality of work I do. So I always overtime, like overtime a lot, 8, 9, 10 p.m. before I go home. But during the MCO, you cannot go back that late. You have to go home. Mm. Otherwise, you get caught by the police. I felt that something that I don't miss overtime. Of course, right now, I wouldn't say that I'm completely, you know, healed from the overtime kind of thing. But I reduce it much more because I felt that during the pandemic when I during the MCO when I was forced to go home early, I actually like it better. I have a lot more time for myself. I can feel more productive the next day, even. Yeah, more clear-headed when I write my reports and all that. So I felt more better.
You have better boundaries with regards to your work, lah.
Yes, yes.
I think a lot of people actually did not have those boundaries. Mm. But I believe, is this what you were the most proud of? Like, when we summarize and celebrate our 2020, is this what you're the most proud of? Being able to, you know?
Have boundaries?
Mm-hmm.
I think what I'm most proud of is that, and also being able to accept who I am. That whole accepting my own limitations, accepting that, you know, I'm not for everyone, or like, that's okay. I have guilt, I have ego, and that's okay. It's not to say that I don't improve, but I am that way and I'm okay with that. I learn along the way and I live more intentionally. I feel that that's what I'm most proud of, because I'm able to learn to live more intentionally. And one of the things that I felt most powerful for me is that, you know, in this pandemic, all of us go through grief. We lose something, we lose certain freedom. But it was grieving with hope. It's being kind to yourself. That's something that I felt really powerful for myself, because when I grieve and I still have hope, it's not to say that I disregard my losses, but I have hope, I accept my limitations, but I still have hope. That kind of bring me to a place that's more at peace with myself, a place that is more hopeful.
That's important. That's important. If you have no hope, there's no point in life anymore, right?
Yeah.
So a recurring theme that I hear from all of you is acceptance. The acceptance of what's happened, of what is to come. And we talked about this before, Kim, like what you were most proud of during this period was this acceptance of yourself.
I used to be a yes person, and then yes, that project, yes, that project, and then I get so exhausted. And instead of, did I speak to you about this, Laura, the other day, like when we are widening, because we try to achieve so many things, we widen our roots instead of deepening our roots.
You did.
And really finding what's closest to our heart and putting more energy into that. But it's also very important to remember why we do what we do. I think that's always like intentional living. You always have to question yourself why you're putting on certain actions, and also asking yourself, do you have the mental space for that? Because I was never so kind to myself. I didn't allow myself to...
High five!
Grief. Because for me, I think I'm quite independent, I can say. So I don't really know how to ask for help. I was so difficult. And I also don't really know how to set boundaries with people. So when I learned to cry... And I always have this like visual image in my head. If I feel sad, I imagine myself like a piece of steak. You marinate next for 3 days. So you marinate in your emotion. I allow myself to marinate in my emotions max for 3 days. Mm. And then I tell myself, girl, you got to get up. You got to get on with life. Because if you put the meat in the fridge for too long, spoiler sama.
True.
So I better get cooking and I better start doing something about my life. Yeah.
this is a very interesting analogy. You mentioned the word boundaries. You also talked about, in terms of your social circle, there's one thing that you learned about consent. Like, everyone's going through so much stuff of their own.
Yeah. And I think just asking for emotional space from people, because sometimes we can be guilty of like unloading or just expecting someone to listen to us, or expecting them to perform the way that we want them to perform. But we don't really know what they're going through. And it's important to voice that out, or even ask them how they are feeling about certain things. So to be able to learn to give them that space to for them to speak up for themselves. I have to make sure that, because essentially when you're trying to be a listening ear to someone, you want to be present, you don't want to be distracted on your phone. So I try to make sure that my cup is full before I can pour it and pour love out, pour help out, pour an extension of myself out to someone else. And for me, being able to tell my friends, oh, I'm not capable of listening today, I'm so sorry, but I must always remember to have a rain check. But it's also important to, it depends also, I also learn who is important and who's not.
In this, as a result of this year, yeah, you learn how to curate your social circle.
Exactly. And because, you know, when you do events, there's always people, so many people giving their opinion or what's next or why didn't you do it this way? Why didn't you do it that way? And then I thought about it. I was like, if I didn't ask you for advice, why am I so concerned about your harsh criticisms? Unless it's constructive, it is not beneficial, I think. It's so easy for people to shut you down. Not use my Hokkien so much. Sorry, I forget. Like, why you do this this way? Not good lah. Then I was like, oh, so how can you help? So how can I be better? And if they cannot extend that help to me, then I shouldn't be so harsh on myself to take all that verbal bullet into my body. Yeah.
I think there was one thing that I learned from my conversation with you as well, because I'm guilty of unloading onto a friend if I'm feeling really upset or really bad. And you actually said to me, I should ask for consent. I should ask, I'm having a bad day. Is it okay if I talk to you now? Instead of going straight into this tirade of like, you don't give people space to make space for you. You don't give people that time. So I think that's something important that I learned from you, considering that everyone is going through something right now. Everyone's got worries. Everyone's got stuff going on. So we need to respect other people's space. And Celine, I think we talked about you learn to do things for the joy of it rather than having to be good at it. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Being at home for so long, I have started to explore a more like my creative side, and not being someone who is not very creative growing up, and just isn't my thing, you know, but be able to like I want to explore it, but then it will always feel like I'm not good enough, you know. But I have learned to sort of prioritize, like, if it makes me feel good, if learning this thing makes me feel good, then that's like okay lah. Like if I'm not good at it, if I keep doing it and I feel happy about it, one day I may be better at it. And so just pursuing joy instead of pursuing skill, I've like prioritized that more, and it makes me feel so much better. Trying to do like what Hazel said, like just accepting that there are certain things that I'm just not going to be good at, but if I enjoy doing it, then okay, like, I'll just do it for the joy of it, which is honestly the point, I feel. Yeah,
that's so important, because I think as children, well, I don't want to blame being Asian for everything, but you can blame a lot of things on being Asian. We're very achievement driven. It's like, if you're not good at the piano, you're not good at drawing, why bother? But that's not true. Because if you enjoy doing, as Celine just said, if you enjoy doing it, do it. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be Michelangelo. You don't have to be, you know, a concert pianist. You can just do it. And that's really important. All of this, what I've been doing for the past hour or so, is really just going through our year in detail. Seeing all the little triumphs and looking at all the hurts and grief and facing all of that head on. If you look at the year compass, there's actually a section about forgiveness, about who are the people that, or did anything happen that you feel needs to be forgiven. You don't want to carry that burden into the next year. So this booklet wants you to think about these things. What's the resentment? What are the things that you should not be carrying forward into the new year? And by the time you finished the past year, it will say things like, it's time to let go. The past year is done. You reflected on it. And it's time to look forward. And then move on to the next part of the supplement, which is the year ahead. But before we move on, again, to wrap up, I'm hearing so many great things from you guys, from you ladies. It's like acceptance, things like learning things from the joy of it, learning how to set boundaries, learning how to be kind to ourselves. Whatever your circumstances are, again, acknowledging our position of privilege, but wherever you're going through things, these are fundamental principles that anyone can benefit from. Being more kind to yourself, being less focused on productivity, on maybe, yes, you have less money now, or you make less money, but have you been able to live a better life with that amount of money? Maybe you didn't need as much as you thought you did. I'm just saying that it might not be true to relevant to you, but it could be. So to end this part of the past year, everyone's going to share the past year in three words. Choose three words that define your past year. It's the very last page of the supplement. Don't have to explain them. Just write down the three words that are most relevant to your past year. So mine's acceptance, grief, and priorities. I see Hazel's is...
loss, resilience, and realignment.
Realignment, that's a great word. That's a great word. It speaks of us having to adapt. Forgiving, Kim's is forgiving, turbulence, and gratitude. Gratitude is a good... Gratitude for all the things that we still have. The many things that we still have, actually. For Celine, it's
safe, peaceful, and quiet, which is a blessing in itself. Yeah.
Yes. That ties into the whole gratitude. And with that, as the year compass says, we are done with the past year. At this point, you've already gone through a lot of heavy stuff. So if you're doing this on your own or you're doing with your friends, now's a good time to take a break and just take a breather. But for the purpose of this show, we are not going to take a break, but we're just going to, quickly go through the year ahead. I mean, the past year has been so much to process. There's been so much that's happened. A lot of emotional energy and mental energy needed to process it. But we are four days away from 2021. We have no idea what 2021 is going to bring. Could be better, hopefully not worse. If it remains the same, still okay. But hopefully things will take a turn for the better. We've learned to adapt to a new... I don't like to use the new normal. There's a quote that I actually heard that says that we should not be going back to normal. We should be aiming for better. All the lessons that we've learned, all the things that we've seen and experiences that we've had, we should be aiming for a better life for all of us, right? So the past for the year forward, it's like 2021, 4 days away. Wait, yeah, 4 days away. It also goes through a similar layout. It talks about what your next year will be about. What are your dreams? Dare to dream big. Actually, the first page actually says, dare to dream big. Now, what are your plans? Yes, I know the most cynical among you are saying that I planned so much for 2020, all went to hell. Please, people, have hope. As Hazel said, it is so important to have hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't have hope, there is no point. So it talks about things like the three things that you would love. It's called the magical triplets for the year ahead. The three things that I would love about myself. The three things that I would do every morning. Making your bed, waking up early, all these kind of things. The three places I will visit. Okay, that's a little bit out of reach. Let's just put that aside. But I will connect with my loved ones in these three ways. Some of us, like Hazel, have learned to say more instead of do more. Because you adapted to the change. these three things I will have the power to say no to. So like Celine said, the pressure of having to go out because your friend wants you to go out, and Kim, the pressure of saying yes to every single project because you don't know how to say no. So these are very specific and very concrete aims to work towards. But very quickly, we're going to look at six sentences about my year ahead. And if you think of something, just shout out the answer. It doesn't matter who answers the question. This year, I will not procrastinate anymore on
pursuing my passions, pursuing joy, the pursuit of happiness.
That's
like the movie.
That's a good one. This year I will say yes when
someone offers me $1 million.
I will say yes too.
I will say yes before they finish the sentence.
Yeah.
This year I will be the bravest when
I need to speak up for things that matter to me.
Nice one. This year I will draw the most energy from
love.
Intentional living.
Intentional living, love. This year I'd advise myself to
放过自己. Release yourself from the excess baggages.
Thank you for the translation for the benefit of everyone else who does not understand Mandarin. Letting go of things that are not in your control. And looks like we're done. Last thing. There's so much hope for the new year. There's so much hope for 2021. What is that word that will symbolize and define the year ahead? And you can look at this word whenever you need some extra energy or some escape from cynicism. So to remember not to give up your dreams, this is what the supplement says. And let me think, what is that one word for the year ahead?
Can I have three words?
Why are you so greedy, Kim?
Please.
Okay, fine. Oh, be like water.
Oh.
What I have is acceptance. Learning what I can control, accepting what I can control, and things that I cannot control. So Hazel's is whole and hope. Whole and hope.
Basically to intentionally hold your own emotion, hold everything with kindness without being too attached to it or without being too overwhelmed by it. Just kind of hold it.
Wise words. Celine?
Yes.
Forward.
Nice.
Why forward?
I feel like that has always been the one thing that kept me going. Just like, oh, tomorrow is another day. Tomorrow will come. Like, just going forward, like not dwelling on setbacks and knowing that things will pass. Knowing that things will always pass is like my mantra. And I feel like I want to carry that forward. Yeah.
That's so important. It's like, because when you're stuck in a situation, especially when you are already living with a mental health issue, being stuck in that moment can feel like hell. It can feel like you want to die. But remembering that thought, holding on to the hope that you know this moment will pass, that is what keeps you moving forward, as you so succinctly put. And that, I have high hopes. I have not high hopes. Okay, I wouldn't go. I am an optimistic pessimist. I always expect things to go wrong. But when they do go right, it makes me extra happy because it proves me wrong. I'm always looking for the universe to prove me wrong. And I'm so grateful to have the company of these three ladies tonight. I've learned a lot and I filled my cup tonight.
Yeah.
And I hope that our listeners have gained something from this session as well. Do go look up Year Compass at their website. Again, the link is in the comments. These people have done such great work. They have put this resource out for free. It is not therapy, but it is a very helpful way to guide you through what has happened and to process it and to plan ahead for a better year, a better tomorrow, a better you. Sounds very cliche, but so necessary. You all need to hold on to hope. So this episode will also be available on Spotify as an Apple Podcast as a podcast. So please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Spotify if you haven't done so already. So thank you so much for joining us tonight. Good night. Hope to see you again soon. Bye.
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 Thank you for the
show. Bye. Good night.
You've been listening to Mind Brew Chats. Find out more about Mind Brew on our social media platforms at Mind Brew KCH. That's Mind Brew KCH on Instagram and Facebook. Don't forget to like and subscribe for future updates.